Welcome back to the History of North America Extra. I'm Mark Vinette. The Dead Letter, Chapter 20. The triumvirate walked across Parliament Square towards the Abbey. Hewitt negotiated the oncoming ballet of pedestrian traffic with an awkward stride, duck style. Julia chuckled to herself at the sight of Hewitt's gait, along with his matching socks and tweed hat. Once again, she could not help but like the professor. "He's not bad-looking," she thought. "He's just funny-looking." In quick time, the trio approached the grand structure. Viewing the splendor of the ancient edifice with a collective spirit of awe, reverence, and excitement. Westminster Abbey is a large twin-towered Gothic church with a vast interior. Founded over a millennium ago, it is one of the United Kingdom's most notable religious buildings and the traditional place of coronation and burial site for English and later British monarchs. Many royal marriages and national commemorative events have also been held within its walls. As the trio approached the front entrance, Hewitt politely pushed forward through the queue of tourists towards the ticket booth and gave his name. The attendant opened a side drawer and handed him an envelope. Hewitt retrieved its contents, giving his cohorts each a laminated clip-on badge written, "Guest Privilege." Wade didn't ask, but assumed Hewitt had his contacts. They heard religious organ music being played as they entered, a reminder to tourists that the sanctuary was prima facie an active church, not a museum. They walked down the nave and across the transept towards the apse. They took each step in silence, heads turning this way and that to capture as much as possible of the rich architecture, marble carvings, sculptures, paintings, tapestries, ornaments, decorations, and religious icons. Their walk through the abbey was done in a straight line with no detours, turns, wanderings, or stops. As tempting as it may have been. Julia and Wade followed Hewitt on his planned route past brass gates and up a flight of stairs into the magnificent Henry VII Chapel, a large lady chapel devoted to the Virgin Mary at the far eastern end of the abbey, paid for by the last testament of the first Tudor king. The structure of the chapel is a three-aisled nave composed of four bays. The apse of the sanctuary contains the altar, and behind that, the tombs of Henry VII and his wife. The chapel is built in a very late perpendicular Gothic style and is noted for its pendant fan vault ceiling. The tombs of several other monarchs, including Edward VI, Elizabeth I, Mary I, James I, Charles II, and Mary, Queen of Scots, are found in the chapel. The chapel has also been the mother church of the Order of the Bath since 1725, and the member banners hang above wooden stalls. There are also five small apsidal chapels. Hewitt stopped in the center of the chapel and turned to his followers, addressing them in a respectful, if loud, whisper.
"Elizabeth's grandfather, Henry Tudor, rebuilt this chapel in 1502. And dedicated it to the Mother of Jesus. It is considered a Marian chapel. In the 1200s, a movement towards devotion to Mary inspired the building of chapels in her honor across Europe. This chapel was part of that trend. In addition to venerating the Virgin Mary, Henry also wanted a royal mausoleum for him, his family, and his heirs at an important religious site that would enhance his legitimacy as king and propagate his legacy."
Hewitt moved closer to his small audience.
"I must remind you that Henry VII was considered by many a usurper of the throne, causing him to constantly defend, promote, and solidify his tenuous claim to the crown."
"Who is buried here?"
asked Julia, feeling a bit uneasy. She was a touch claustrophobic and not comfortable in cemeteries or crypts. Ever since childhood, She was nervy with the thought of being encased in a container for eternity.
Over 30 royals and nobles are interred in this chapel, including,
he began to point,
Henry VII himself, Mary, Queen of Scots, and her son, King James, and Henry VIII's children, Edward, Mary, and Elizabeth.
Where is Henry VIII buried?
Julia's curiosity not yet satisfied.
At Windsor Castle, Hewitt answered matter-of-factly. He had planned a massive tomb monument for himself and his third wife, Jane Seymour, but it was never built. Ironically, this lion of a king, who embodied absolute power, grandeur, extravagance, and opulence, lies in a plain vault in the castle's St. George's Chapel, marked only by a simple marble slab.
What about Elizabeth? Wade asked, redirecting Daenerys' historian back to the main purpose of their visit.
Ah, yes, Gloriana, the Rose of England.
His loud whisper had suddenly risen in pitch. He raised his eyebrows and gave them an elfish smile.
Follow me.
Tailing Hewitt to the north aisle of the chapel, the trio approached a large marble structure. Wade directed his sight to the royal effigy's face atop an above-ground stone vault, while Julia set her eyes on the queen's splendid dress, asking herself,
Is this the gown we are searching for?
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-218-6010. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-218-6010. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-218-6010.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you enjoyed the listen. The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.